The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Trinity is written in 1 Kings chapter 19. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.' Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God, through the foolishness of what we preach, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fifth chapter. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sermon for the fifth Sunday after Trinity is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fifth chapter. But when Simon Peter saw it, the miraculous catch of fish, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And Jesus said to him, "Do not be afraid." In this day and age, people trying to outdo their neighbor can easily be observed. Whose birthday party can be bigger than the others? What athlete or sports fan brags about being better or their team being better than the others? Who's got the higher paying job, or who drives the classier or faster car? Who's got the nicer house, or who has more in their bank account? Vain glory is cheap, and it's always pursued by sinful flesh. For it feeds that flesh, which is so absorbed with itself. The Lord Jesus did something that in today's world would most likely be thought of as simple entertainment, a trick among many. Before a crowd, he made multitudes of fish gather in a lake where seasoned fishermen had just worked all night and had come up with nothing. Jesus told them where to cast the nets, and even in the face of their skepticism, it came to pass in dramatic fashion. Instead of cheering and clapping, however, Simon Peter's reaction is one of astonishment. He's stunned. He's terrified. For this was no boastful prediction by a flamboyant athlete. Jesus commanded the forces of nature to do the impossible. And the impossible happened right before St. Peter's eyes. Not having to brag, not having to pretend that there's anything up his sleeves, Jesus did what was only possible with God. It didn't take very long for St. Peter to be brought to understand who this boat preacher truly was. In retrospect, after the catch of fish takes place, Peter is brought to understand to whom he was actually speaking when he had earlier said, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." Peter was brought to understand two things that prompted him to ask Jesus to depart. God created faith, brought Peter to believe. This Jesus is God, and I am a poor, miserable sinner. Sound familiar? God created faith also brought Peter to confess, because of my sins, I am unworthy to stand before this Jesus of Nazareth, the man who is God. So Saint Peter, the sinner, kneels before the Lord and confesses his sin. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Peter confesses his sins, but he also confesses Jesus as God by kneeling and calling him Lord. That, dear friends, is the greater miracle, God's creation of repentant belief. Making fish appear in a lake is nowhere near the greatness of the miracle of faith, of the confession of one's sins, and of the confession of Jesus as God. Peter's repentant confession acknowledges what he deserves because of his sin. Depart from me. He deserves abandonment from God. Thanks be to God that St. Peter's plea of depart from me was not fulfilled. For God brings you to confess the same thing about yourselves at the beginning of every one of his divine services for you. Jesus, however, would never abandon the Apostle Peter, and he doesn't abandon you, dear repentant, believing brothers and sisters in Christ. Do not be afraid, says the Lord, with a startling prophecy. From now on, you will be catching men. Peter, James, and John would all be brought to walk away from their fishing business to follow Jesus, to study as his students for 3 years, so that the Lord would work through them in order to proclaim the good news that this Jesus, this man who is God, has come not to frighten, but to atone for the sins of the world, securing forgiveness of sins, becoming the mercy seat of God, the throne of grace to which all should flee through faith to escape the throne of judgment. Yes, such good news would go out from the men who followed Jesus, that people would be caught in the nets of God's gospel. Peter would see greater wonders and perform many miracles himself, but the greatest miracles of all involve a repentant and believing confession. The confession of sins and the confession of Jesus Christ as God and Lord, as the trusted source of forgiveness of sins, for he is the one who has fully atoned for the sins of the world. He is the source of salvation and redemption. Such a God-created repentant faith in his atoning sacrifice for you is the single miracle which the scriptures proclaim as bringing rejoicing before the angels in heaven. The Lord taught this same lesson to his holy prophet Elijah. Terrifying blasts of wind, horrific earthquakes, and raging fires can certainly demonstrate God's mighty power on this created earth, but it is nowhere near the magnitude of this power, this paradoxical power, the sound of a low whisper. That is how God works, by his word, not needing to be whimsically or dynamically preached or taught, not needing to be backed up by a praise band to give it power, not needing even to be chanted, but simply spoken, even delivered through a low whisper, because it's simply God's word that is the effective agent. It's God and his word that brought all things into being, and it's God and his word that continue to do their creative work, killing and making alive again, bringing those who deserve abandonment, death, and damnation to repentance and belief, that they would then be declared justified, reckoned through faith alone as righteous with the righteousness of Christ, conceived sinners who, through God created repentant trust in Christ, are accounted as unblemished saints. That is the real miracle, dear friends. To confess your sins reveals repentant faith, and that is a far greater miracle than God working through a whirlwind. To confess that Jesus has come into your world to merit and secure your forgiveness and deliver that promised forgiveness to you through his means of word and sacrament, that such a delivery would be received by poor, miserable sinners through faith, that is a far greater miracle than God working through an earthquake. To hear the sound of a low whisper pronouncing Christ's fully earned holy absolution is a far greater miracle than God working through a fire. Jesus told Peter, "Do not be afraid." Because Peter, through such God-created repentant faith, was declared worthy to stand before the Lord, to enjoy the communion that God was bringing to him through Christ, that Peter would never desire to depart from the Lord's grace and mercy with excuses. Peter would enjoy that communion in good times and in bad, in his triumphs and in his failures, in his wisdom and in his foolishness. And so it goes with you, believing, baptized Christians. You partake of the same miracle today. God Almighty calls you by the gospel and enlightens you with his gifts of word and sacraments, catching you in the net of his gospel. And through everything, the good and the bad, the rejoicing and the sorrow, he refuses to depart from you. The word of God, which ever puts forth the message of the cross of Christ crucified, even as a low whisper, is more powerful than all the tempests and storms that this fallen world has to offer. And through such a foolish message to the world, the Lord brings you to humbly be in his presence. For it's his mighty word which ever proclaims and fixes your eyes on the very object of repentant faith. From such a message, God calls out to you, do not be afraid. It is finished. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.